Welcome, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Today, we're joined with none other than the man himself, Brian Garrison-Ockloos. Dude, how are you doing today?
Good. I'm good. We are in Nashville doing rehearsals for the tour that we have coming up next week.
Mm-hmm. Dude, yeah, I know. Thank you for taking time. I know you're busy. We've been planning for a minute, so I'm like, dude, I wanted to try to catch you before you go on tour because I know y'all are busy, and we just have to talk about so much fun and Reggaetron breakdowns, poppies, pissed call-out breakdowns, the whole spiel. But let's start with the brand new. First of all, what made it so you guys had to have the idea to get Poppy on a track? Because it's the best dynamic of like little bro and little sis I've ever seen screaming pissed off as much as possible. Hey guys, Future Nick here. If you're watching this on Spotify, if you don't mind, just give the Nick Nocturnal Podcast a 5-star review rating on Spotify. It just helps get the podcast to more people, helps us get bigger guests and all of that. And be sure to watch the full episode with Brian. It's hilarious. It's amazing. Yeah. But back to reality.
Yeah, I so to be honest, the idea was her idea.
Really?
And yeah, but we were immediately down because like I'm a big fan of her music and just like the art that she puts out in general. And I know Isaac is a fan of her as well, and Nico, our other guitar player. So she actually messaged me and she was like, yo, we should do a song together. And our album was done. Like that song wasn't on it. It wasn't written. And when she reached out, me and Isaac were like, yo, we got to write another song. Like, we got to make this work. So we got together the next day, I think, and we wrote it at his computer, which we don't normally do, but we were just kind of like, studio time was booked. So we were like, we got to squeeze one more in. And we wrote it and sent it to the band. And we were like, yo, do you guys like this? And everybody was down and she was down. She loved the song. And I was like, if we're going to have her on a song, it has to be like one of the heaviest songs on the record.
Right.
Just because I don't think a lot of people didn't expect that. Like she does heavy stuff. And like we played with her once and we watched her and like, I saw how good she was at screaming live. Like it's very like real and, right. and very similar to the same style as me. So I was like, yeah, it's gotta be insane.
Yeah.
But it also kind of like her music is all over the place. So we were like, let's do some stuff we wouldn't normally do. Like there's that like dance beat in the middle, yeah. the off time hi-hat. And then there's like the reggaeton breakdown.
Yeah. The reggaeton is not something I think anyone expected with that. It's something that I think you don't expect like a pissed off fucking hardcore metalcore like breakdown that has a reggaeton beat nowadays.
Yeah, it's an idea that we've had. It's like a joke that we've had for a long time. I feel like a lot of Nocturnal's best ideas start as jokes.
Yes.
And I think we were talking about, I like that kind of music. I can't speak for anyone else. I know Isaac mentioned that it like wasn't his favorite, but I've always kind of liked that music and always appreciated it. And I've also always appreciated the fact that every single song has that drum beat. Like right. everybody gets into the yeah. studio and they're like, all right, well we have to cut to cut to cut and we'll just build from there.
Right.
So I was like, that's the secret to a hit. Like you look at those artists and they're massive. I was like, that's the secret. And we were like, okay, let's just do a breakdown. Like, and we were all like laughing about it. But then when it came time to do this song, it was like, yo, that's stupid enough to put in this song.
That's stupid. Yeah. Well, I love, cause I saw you tweet, you're like laughing because people were like, oh, it's the Poppy song. So it's the chill song. And I when I see Ockloos and I'm like, okay, the boys are going to, it's Ockloos. Like what can you, it's gonna be insane. Like there's no like, it doesn't matter if you guys featured, I feel like Demi Lovato, you guys would have a dumb like heavy as fuck song, and then the guest adds value instead of you guys making like a song for them or their like particular style, which I love. So I love that, you know, people probably did expect it to be like this more like laid back chill weird hyper pop thing, and it's just Poppy going nuts on it.
Yeah, Dude, I think that I honestly feel like there's been so many moments in us being a band where people are just waiting for us to make a drastic change.
Right.
And I don't expect that because I don't understand that because we've never hinted at that even being an option. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. When we signed to Pure Noise, there were a lot of comments like, here comes the singing. And like, same shit when we like toured with A Day to Remember and when we did Coachella, like, and it's funny because we've never considered, adding singing.
Right. Can you sing as a side note? I don't, can you actually?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Gotcha. I can't. I wish I could so bad. But I'm like to the point where like, if I'm in my car alone and I'm singing even by myself, I'm like, damn, this sucks.
That's not a fun. Cause you gotta sing the reggaeton beats now, you know, with the full boons. You gotta sing in Spanish, man, and just go for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just commit to it now.
But it's funny. Cause every time we see those comments, I feel like in the back of our head, we're like, okay, we gotta go crazier if this is what people think. Like,
yeah.
I think that started with A Tear in the Fabric of Life.
Hmm.
That was like, let's just write songs that are just like extreme versions of Knocked Loose.
Right.
And once we saw that like people liked that and we could get away with it, that's been like an underlying, every time we write, it's like, what's like the most abrasive version of this song or this riff? And it's fun. It's funner that way, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think a lot of musicians like fans of bands assume that when a band gets a little bigger, that okay, now here comes the singing and the radio play, because it does it happens all the time, which is weird. And it is, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. A band does this or that, or you know, gets a little safer, but it can get boring quite quickly, obviously. And sometimes bands want to do that because they're creatively want to. But then it's also sometimes the pressure of like the label, you need to, you know, reach a bigger audience and all that. But nowadays it seems like heavy music is king. Like, it's more popular, I think, than it's been in a long time. And you guys being the king of just being extremely fucking pissed is amazing. And there's not many bands that like you can see and believe when they're throwing that down, not only in the studio, but also live, that you're like, okay, that's, they're in, like, that is 100% them and going, what's going on now?
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I think that for a lot of bands, it does work. I'm fans of a lot of bands that made the switch,
yeah,
and got softer. But for us, it's just one, not an option, and
right,
two, just like, it's fun to see kind of now like where, how far we can stretch, like being extreme and getting these like more mainstream opportunities like Coachella. It's like, I don't want to be big and like bad enough to start singing. I want to see how big we can get being the extreme band that's not supposed to be big. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. I mean, you guys,
especially now with where we're at, like that, with where we're at touring, like getting to open up for bands like Motionless and White and Gojira and stuff, like we were never supposed to do that. You know what I mean?
Dude, I saw you guys on the Motionless tour, and like, I've been to a good amount of shows in my life, and straight up, I haven't ever seen a heavy show as good as your guys set in like fucking years. Cause it is brutal. It's raw, it's aggressive, it sounds insane. And it's funny because you were touring with Motionless, so like the fan base of theirs is also, you know, like they have people that like the heavier stuff, but definitely some people that are there for like the more just singing and like chill stuff. And you can see the terror in some of their faces when you guys are fucking throwing down and like do breakdowns and everything in front of them. And it's like, damn, man, that's quite the dynamic of different fan bases coming together to see a show right there.
Yeah, people would, there were a couple people that had to tap out during the Motionless tour. Like, I would see people at the barricade in the front row, just like too overwhelmed and just have to have like security take them out. And like, we always,
jeez,
I always feel bad when I see stuff like that. But at the same time, there's a little part of me that's like, damn, like something me and my friends did is evoking that extreme of a reaction.
Right.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Not that I want that, obviously. Like, I want everybody to be safe. I love a chaotic show. And I've played everything from basements to arenas. So like, but yeah, that was new for us, having people straight up tap out.
Yeah, some of those fans that are like, I can't wait to go up and like sing Another Life with Motionless, you know, and like Eternally Yours. And then like, they're like, who's this band, Knocked Loose? And then I love how you guys just start with your dun, dun, dun. And it's like, I see that. I know. I've seen the videos about Beware of the Knocked Loose pits where it's safe, but it's like, yo, people are throwing the fuck down if you're here at Knocked Loose. And it's so funny just seeing the dynamic of the fan bases from go like, oh, okay. This is, yeah, you don't want to be in the front during this unless you're ready to be kind of in the front seeing the fucking chaos. But I love that you guys just commit to basically authenticity. You guys, I'm sure, also just listen to heavy, crazy shit, as well as, I'm sure, a variety of different things. But it seems like y'all are just like, let's be the fucking craziest, heaviest band that you guys can be. For even just you guys, I'm sure, to even listen to, like when you're at the gym or walking or wherever.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think that we're all very different as individuals. I think every now and then that kind of shines through and you kind of hear, I feel like that's kind of what's always kept us on that like fine line between metalcore and hardcore, just right. Because we all love everything. So we kind of bring influences in from everything. And the only reason that I would say that we've kind of like changed over the years is because I think something that we do a lot is like draw influence from our peers.
Yeah.
So like the more that we get to tour and the bigger we get to tour, we're meeting these bands and we're becoming influenced by them. And it kind of just like opens up the bubble of what Knocked Loose is and like widens the umbrella that we live under, like touring with Gojira.
Right.
We learned so much from them. And dude, touring with Motionless, like Motionless is a very, very inspiring band. Mm-hmm. And I was very, very inspired by the fact that they were straight up doing an arena sized show in the biggest clubs that you could do, like the production and their attention to detail and like creating an experience more than just like a group of songs was like very inspiring.
They go all out with the dancers too. Like they have the choreography and the pyro. I think it's a show.
It's awesome. And it was, we just keep trying to learn, you know, like I always say that if I ever stop being like I'm a fan first. And if I ever stop, then I have no business doing this anymore. Like I do this to see bands that I like and play music with bands that I like.
Right. Would you guys ever have a dance crew with y'all? That would be something of a show right there.
I don't know. We made the joke a lot when we were on tour with Motionless.
Right.
Like, what does that look like? But like, I don't know if we have the parts for it. I think that we just leave the dancing to the people in the crowd.
Leave the dancing to the people. Well, dude, yeah, speaking of obviously Motionless, you guys did Slaughterhouse with them on their record, right? Which, how did that come about? Because that is such a crazy collab that I love that they made one of their most pissed songs when it was like, okay, we got, you know, Brian on here, like we have to kind of come in and go a bit harder. Like, how did that kind of all come about?
Yeah, so I'm a huge Motionless fan. I have been since high school when they sounded like Bleeding Through.
Yeah,
dude. And I've stuck with them as they've like grown musically and like changed musically. I even love the new stuff. So I was very, very excited when I got hit up to do that. And I arguably have done too many guest vocals in my like short time being around.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like really trying to pull back and save it for like special occasions.
Right.
And when that came up, I was like, this is a no-brainer. Right. And And then they sent me the song, and not only did I love the song, but I'm on so much of it,
Yeah.
which I thought was so interesting, because a lot of the times I'll get sent a part and it's like, oh, I get the bridge before the breakdown and that's it. But this was like, I'm in the chorus, I get a whole verse, I get the bridge.
Right.
So I was very excited about that, and we did it, and I hadn't really met them yet. I think I had met them in passing. And I think Chris and I followed each other, and I think Vinny and I followed each other, but I wasn't friends with them yet. But so I did it, and then they were super stoked with how it turned out, and the song obviously got like very, very big. And then when we were writing our album, I just had the joke of, we were talking about features,
right?
And we always have like a list of people that we would like to shoot for, just because we love the idea of collaborations. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yeah, I literally said it just as a joke off the top of my head. I was like, yeah, we'll just have Chris on it. We'll do Slaughterhouse Part 2.
Right.
And everybody laughed. And then like somebody's always like, but maybe.
But maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I guess with that, because I remember seeing the track list, and I was stoked with all the features, because again, I've known Poppy's heavier stuff too. So I'm like, okay, Poppy's going to fucking throw down on her track, and everyone featured is going to do their thing. And then I saw Chris too. And what I love about that too is, I'm sure a lot of people see that and they maybe don't know old Chris, like Motionless and White as well. And they're like, oh, they're going to do like a chiller, more like Breaking Benjamin type track. But on a level of Breaking Benjamin to Hilariously Dummy, how hard does Chris go on that track, if you had to give that scale?
I've been very like careful with like what I give away when it comes to this song.
Got you. That's
but funny. I will say, and I haven't said this before, I'm a pretty like monotone person. I'm not very like reactive.
Right.
I will say that the first time I got Slaughterhouse 2 sent to me with his vocals, I was driving, and I was screaming out loud, punching the seat next to me. Like I was going, whoop.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very excited for people to hear that one. Obviously it's, there's a lot of really cool stuff about it. And Chris was like super cool, super down. And it's also funny, 'cause like for the people that aren't super familiar with like older Emotionless.
Yeah.
He's still like, even now when he screams, his screams are so good.
Yeah.
Like he sent me, like I'm a fan, so I keep up, and I know like the hits are like Another Life, Eternally Yours, Voices, right. Like, and I love those songs. But then he sent me Slaughterhouse and my voice is like this. Like I don't have.
Gotcha.
I don't have highs and lows. Like I just yell as mad as I can. And he sent me Slaughterhouse 1, and he went crazy on that.
He did.
And I was like, bro, like, he definitely brought it. And I was like, damn, man, I'm just like over here trying my hardest.
Well, I mean, yo, bro, don't cut yourself short, because yo, you got that little pig squeal in that new track where you guys do the triple breakdown call out. That is hard as fuck. That's what were your guys' faces in the studio just hearing that for the first time? Because that has to be one of those moments you were like, fuck.
That was a moment that was like written for the vocal part, which is not, it isn't normal for us, but I'm not great at doing that style.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never really implemented it into a record.
Mm-hmm.
But like we've been touring so much, and like sometimes when my voice is really on and I'm like really enjoying the show, I'll find places to kind of like throw it in live only. Right. So like people have kind of been like, yo, when is this going to come? When is this going to come? And then writing this record, Isaac was just like, I think this is the one. Like this record needs it.
Right.
And he was like, you know, like people have waited long enough to where if you do it, they're going to freak out.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like I'll consider it. So we started kind of like conceptualizing the part, and it was Isaac that was like, dude, if if it was all three of us and it was like Nico, me, you, like mid, low, lower, he was like, dude. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, that's sick. Mm-hmm. And we wrote it, and I still was just like, I don't know. Like, I even had versions of that breakdown that didn't have that in it.
Right.
It was just straight up Nico Isaac, my normal voice. And then Isaac was just like so mad. He's like, dude, you have to do it. And I'm glad I did it, though. I am glad that I did it.
Yeah. Well, because it just creates those fun, unique moments, which I love how you guys keep describing as like you're writing parts and you laugh at first. And then yeah. You're like, wait, wait a second. Like, entertain us for a minute, because like, that's like one of the best first responses when you're listening to something extreme is to laugh, because it sounds so wild that there's no other emotion that can even describe. You just laugh because you're like, what is this?
And that's, dude, yeah, it's the funnest to make. Like, and we kind of kept that into recording as well. Like, A Tear in the Fabric of Life was the first Knocked Loose record ever where, like, in the studio we really did a lot of experimenting with like different sounds. Like, Laugh Tracks in a Different Shade of Blue is supposed to sound like five dudes in a room jamming. Like, right. There's not a lot of vocal layers. If there is layers, it's Isaac, so that we could do it live.
Right.
And then there's not a lot of, like, the guitars aren't stacked crazy. But then when we did A Different Shade of Blue, Tearing the Fabric of Life, it was like, let's go crazy. And we've kind of kept that. So, like, this record, it was like, what's crazier? Like, let's have vocal parts where we just layer, like, 10 of me. And then, like, let's have vocal parts where, like, we sneak our drummer's vocals in there. Like, he doesn't even do vocals, but we're like, if you've got four layered screams, it doesn't even matter what the fourth sounds like. It just sounds like a wall of noise. You know what I mean? So it was the same with guitar. It's like, I think the guitars for like all of the breakdowns on the record, there's a layer of guitar that like doesn't even sound like guitar.
It sounds like explosions, like literally. Yeah. It sounds like impact explosions, which I know you guys, you were working with Will Putney before, and all the new stuff has been Drew Falk, I believe, right?
This was like, I'm actually gonna have to sneak in town and grab a phone charger so I don't die on you, but
no worries,
so
man.
Excuse me if it gets loud.
No, it's all good, man. It's all good. Yeah, because like, it's so fun seeing that, just listening, and even with the new track, hearing it, and it's just every chug sounds so massively disgusting. Where it doesn't even almost sound like a guitar. You're right. It sounds like a wall of noise, but together in the mix with all of you, and especially again myself seeing you guys live, like you guys are able to emulate that sound so pure and raw live in such an insane way, because it seems like it's so like heavily smashed, but you guys can get those tones. You guys can get those vocals live. Where it just translates, it just sounds like the studio anyway. So like, I love that you guys are able to kind of almost play with like no rules and the freedom, but then you just deliver it. You guys just figure out how to deliver it live, which is insane, man.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. I think that, I can't speak too much on the guitar stuff, 'cause I'm just like not a guitar player at all. I just thought that it was hilarious that like the final layer of all the breakdowns, they just called it the hell tone. Because it just doesn't sound like guitar.
It doesn't. It's insane. And it's great that it has that effect, because I feel like nowadays the mixing and production, even as minimal as production might be in terms of you guys, like you guys aren't using like crazy synths and stuff, right? Like you guys are using more simplistic, like it's still a band jamming and there's like impacts and whatnot. But how much that attributes to a sound of a band nowadays that is just so heavy, where the mix has a huge element of making things sound super heavy, as well as the production and obviously the tightness of the players. And I love that we're at that point too, so you guys can have music that's just so fucking pissed and it translates to this huge other level. And like I said, you guys are able to deliver it live in a way a band I've never seen do that so authentically and so sonically heavy ever.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're doing a lot, especially right now. We're at this like rehearsal facility. We're doing a lot to kind of like upgrade the live rig to make it even crazier, so that it allows us, because on the new record we tried so many new things and so many new sounds and layers, and we wanted to be able to do it live. So we're like taking a lot of steps right now to make it even crazier in the future.
Yeah.
And it should really pay off. The show that we've got cooking up for this tour coming up is like definitely the craziest show we've ever put on and ever like even like dreamed of putting on. Like it's psycho.
Oh, so you got the dancers then?
no dancers, but no dancers. But definitely like a lot of surprises.
Shit. Okay. I'm stoked. Are you guys, well, you guys are going, you guys stopping by Orlando on that tour?
We played Tampa last day.
Okay. I'll say what's up on Tampa. I'll drive.
Yeah,
I'll,
come out.
I'll drive down to see y'all fucking do your thing. That's fucking sick, man. But with all of that, like, is you guys have been such a unique band too, because you've been around for a minute. Like, is it 10 years? 2014, right? Yeah.
2014 was the demo. 2013 was the first show.
Okay. So 11 years now. And I've even heard like you guys kind of talk about how like at the beginning it's a little tougher because, you know, the metal scene always wants to categorize like you're a hardcore band or you're a metalcore band. Like, what the fuck is this kind of in between thing? Like, and having to deal with both sides. And it seemed like over the years, even though I don't think you guys had like a crazy amount of haters or anything, but it seems like now, unanimously, the entire metal scene is just like, holy fuck, new Knocked Loose, this bangs, and that's it. There's no this or this, there's no the mixer, it's just new Knocked Loose, I'm happy. And like, did you guys see that kind of shift? Because like, it seems like for like most bands, especially that have to deal with that, or like earlier on, like that doesn't happen for those bands. Usually they have to just deal with this bullshit forever, and I'm sure you guys have to deal with your fair share of whatever, but like, it seems like unanimously almost the entire metal scene's like, I am happy Knocked Loose exists and I need to see them every day live.
Yeah, it's been strange, like the back and forth between like the different like subgenres, I guess.
Yeah.
We got it a lot. I feel like early on we got it a lot from the hardcore side of things, and then moving forward we got it a lot from like the metal side of things. It never really slowed us down. And the reason, honestly, why I think that it started to fade was because we just like never really changed as people. Like, we're just like ourselves, and we're not playing some character. We're not doing some bit. We're like,
right,
we get up on stage and dressed how we dress off stage. If you see us in the street and you talk to us, like, we're not fucking weirdos or mean. Like, we're just like normal. And I think that a lot of people saw that, like, that it was
legit,
accessible, and it was approachable and relatable. And I think that it kind of helped people come back around to it. And then the biggest thing, honestly, in the metal community, the biggest thing for Knocked Loose has always been my voice. That's always kind of like had people like hard to win people over. And still, like, I'm even, like, every now and then, I'm not, like, a guy that'll read every comment or anything, but every now and then, I'll still see comments, like, people love the band, hate the voice, and I get it. It's definitely, like, it's definitely, like, the one thing about the band that's super, that sticks out a lot, but I really do think that, one, for me, it's the best way to get my point across. It sounds the most genuine to my personality. Mm-hmm. And I think that having that much personality behind my voice kind of allows us to sound different, because I think that Knocked Loose started touring heavily around the time that there were a lot of bands like in the same world as us doing the same thing. But I think that all of them had the same exact singer.
Yes, so, they did. 100%.
So I think that if I was like just doing lows and shit, I think that we would kind of get lost in the crowd, you know?
Right. Well, dude, your voice is so genuinely pissed. And that's something I think even myself, like it took a year to like probably appreciate and be like, oh fuck, like this music is so aggressive. And like, even though like, and you are pretty dynamic with your voice because you are going for that scream, and especially live, like you're actually a pretty dynamic vocalist, even if it's not a lot of like different tones, your tone that you go for, right, is quite dynamic because it's very you and it's very aggressive and it's very like, I don't want to use the word emotional, but it has that essence of like, you're listening to you and you're like, that motherfucker's angry. Like, yeah. It's very believable and it's very intense. And in such an intense medium of music, especially because the instrumentals are so like wall of noise, like heaviness of what's happening, your voice actually with your tone, I think, can soar in, like you said, such a unique way that stands out versus, I think, if you were just doing like deathcore vocals, let's say, during the whole fucking thing, it would get completely lost. Like it would just, everything would kind of just jumble together, where like your tone fits so beautifully and it's so angry and how you ace it, man. I got to give you mad credit for that because it is very unique and it's hard because a lot of vocalists will be like, I just want to sound like the deathcore guy. Like that's it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I definitely, like, over the years, like, I did bands when I was a kid where I tried to do like lows and highs and like, and I just never really got good at it. And then when I was like later on in high school, just trying to start straight up hardcore bands,
right,
I was just yelling. Like, I wasn't screaming. It was the voice that I use as like mosh calls, the voice that everybody says sounds like Mickey Mouse.
The SpongeBob is always fun. The SpongeBob, yeah, call outs are
so, yeah. So I was just doing that as like my primary vocal in just local bands. And then I think when Knocked Loose started to kind of like jam, I found a way to add that distortion to it. And I had never done that. And I didn't know how to do it. I was just pushing as hard as I could. Mm-hmm. And then over the last 10 years, I've kind of like realized how to do it and realized what I was doing. And that has allowed me to add more dynamics to it, more like inflections on my voice. It's allowed me to be a lot better at like pronunciation. Yes. And I think that it's given my voice a lot more personality. But it's funny because it's also made my voice get higher, and I don't know how.
Oh, it's just because you have a lower talking voice. I realize that. Like, that's
interesting. Yeah, I don't know how, and it just happens. And if you listen to like laugh tracks versus any of the new songs, my voice is obviously way higher. I'm not doing anything different. It just happened.
That's fucking, I didn't think of that. I'm sure you've been able to make it to where it's like a healthy scream where you're not like after every, you know, few sets, like fuck, like, you know, like kind of out, which is also trippy for a lot of vocalists that like, as you're pushing and you can hear it. And you being able to just yourself, I don't know if you worked with like vocal coaches or like Melissa Cross, like everyone does, or like something like that, but like to be able to make it so you can do that healthily for so many years is not fucking easy. Most vocalists are done. They blow their voice out like after a few years. It's over.
Yeah, that's another thing that I see a lot about my voice is like people hear it and they're just like, this is too shrill and forced and he's going to fuck his stuff up. And it's like, I'm definitely doing it comfortably. You know, like I do this, I've toured full time since 2014. Like, and we used to have a very strict no days off policy.
Oh, fuck. And, like,
and now I'm 30, so I really appreciate a day off.
Right.
But like back when we did a tour with Beartooth in 2018, it was 65 days long because it was a day off every 3 days. And Knocked Loose played off day shows. And in 65 days, I think we played 62 shows.
Jesus, dude.
And it was just like, no days off. Like, let's keep going. But so like, I can do it for 60 days in a row. But the thing that sucks with me is when I'm home. Like, I clock out and I'm not screaming. I'm not practicing. I'm not doing anything. And I'm starting now to get better about that, because if we're home for 2 months,
right,
I'm not screaming at all, and then I'm jumping into a month of tour, and that first week is rough. And it's usually like day one, I sound great. Day two, I'm dust. And then
Gotcha.
I'm building from there, and then like a week into it, I kind of snap into place. So now I'm kind of just trying to keep that muscle working out while I'm at home, which is definitely like helping me a lot. But yeah, it's a lot of people are always like, he's not going to be able to do this forever, blah blah blah, and it's
I mean,
like,
you've been going for 10, 11 years. I think you're fine.
yeah, and it's not as like it's not as panicked as it sounds on recording or live. It is very controlled, you know.
I love how you guys describe your talking about like panic. You describe the new music as anxiety inducing. I have never heard music described like that in my life. And when I heard that, I'm like, okay, this everything, every single song makes sense now. You know.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've probably had music that do that to you, just never thought about it in
Yeah.
that context. And I think for me, not to keep referencing an old record, but a Tear in the Fabric of Life, when we did, when we recorded God Knows,
Right.
the ending breakdown is I'm screaming a lyric the whole time.
Yeah.
Isaac is layered on every first word. And then in the background, I was like, I just want you to record me literally just screaming bloody murder. So there's like, I think there's like six vocal tracks going at once.
Right.
And I have videos on my phone. I always say that I'm going to post them, but literally I just put the camera up and I'm just in the studio going like, ah.
That's amazing.
And, but I remember when the first time I ever listened back to God Knows, we when it was done, it ends so abrasively with that very last God Knows.
Yeah.
And I like it ended and I took a deep breath and I was like, damn, I feel like I've been holding my breath for 3 minutes. Like, and I realized that it was like the anxiety of the song. So that's kind of going into this record, it was like, let's do that again. Let's make people feel like they're going crazy without it. Like, another thing, when we started, we were writing breakdowns for people to beat ass.
Right,
And
to be asked. I didn't expect that term. Yeah, to be, I got you, I got you.
we played like, I mean, back then we were playing house shows and they
Right.
were terrifying. And there were days when we would be playing and I would get my ass kicked. Just
Okay.
because I was too close to the crowd. And
Oh,
like,
shit.
so obviously where we're at now, the shows aren't like that. The shows are crazy and violent for different reasons, but people aren't like beating ass.
No.
So now when we approach a breakdown, it's like we're gonna play in front of 2,000 people. They're not going to beat us, so let's just make them scared and feel like they're trapped.
I love that shift in like philosophy. That should be your guys' missions team when you guys come in the office. Like, we don't need them to beat ass. We need to make them feel anxious and trapped. That's the new motto. That's what, I guess I well it's seeing you guys for a minute now. Like, I got you until you guys more during like Shades of Blue, but like the evolution even since then, like hearing it go to that more anxiety inducing route, man, is like fucking is insane. It's you guys are one of the few bands which like you come out with a track and like okay, like you have to get prepared mentally almost for what's about to kind of come. And you know it's gonna deliver, and I got to give you guys mad props for, I haven't heard the album yet, but all the singles that have come out because it's so fucking consistent, and it's so rare to find a band that is consistent, not just like here's the first track, that's all we got, all right, thanks, you know, and then the other singles are just here. Like every song does have its own identity, it does have its own, you know, unique vibe, and it's all heavy and very knocked loose. Like I remember seeing one of the comments, this is the most knocked loose song I've ever seen, you know, like from you guys, and like seeing stuff like that, like That's very rare. Bands don't get that kind of stuff nowadays. Like, to have created such a unique identity and image in the scene, where like, you guys are your own, you've carved it out, you're knocked loose, you're heavy, you're pissed, and you do whatever the fuck you want. And I gotta give you guys mad props for that, because that does not happen very often.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thank you. And yeah, and I definitely see, like, I see the reactions that you do, and I see like the how supportive like your chat is. And I do, like, while I'm here, wanted to definitely say that I appreciate that as well. I appreciate all the support. It's very like validating to be a band this long and work as hard as we did on this album, and for it to be getting the response that it's already getting before it's even out.
Mm.
I can say that this was like definitely the, all jokes aside, like definitely the hardest thing that we've ever made, you know. Mm. The most challenging thing that I've ever done artistically. Definitely pushed myself. So to see it like already get so much support has been like very, very rewarding and reassuring, if anything. So thank you, and thank you to like all of your viewers. And
oh, bro, anytime, thank you for making bangers. That's all, that's it. You guys make fucking what did you just not ask Peter? Anxiety inducing bangers, and I'm here for it. You know what I mean? And I think seeing that authenticity in a band, like I said, nowadays it's hard to find. And as much as, you know, I love the metal scene, it's something where like it's always this struggle with a lot of bands I see trying to figure out their own identity, because maybe, you know, they got a lot of fans following some trend or doing this or doing this, and they want to try new things. And it's, as a metal fan first, like, it's so hard to find that consistency of just, here's a band, when I know that pops in my feed, I'm about to be happy. You know, just like with video games, like, you know, when you love a game and they introduce the next game, the next series, you're like, oh my God, I can't wait for this to come out, because it's going to be banger, what I want, built more, have a unique, surprising twist. And that's something you guys deliver all the time. And a lot of bands can't do that, man. So like, props to y'all for doing that and continuing to grow. And I remember even like hearing God Knows, that's when I think I started to be like, okay, well, what the fuck's Knock Loose cooking? Like, this is different type of like pissed, angry heaviness. But then especially when you guys drop Deep in the Willow and Everything is Quiet Now. First of all, take me through that, because those two singles are not on the record, right? Those are standalones.
Yeah, we were at, like, deep in writing mode for the album.
Right.
And those songs did not exist at all, none of those riffs. And then we got offered Coachella, and we were like, man, we need something to promote at Coachella. But the album isn't ready, and we don't know, like, none of these songs are good enough to give away yet.
Mm.
So we literally... Oh, also, we were toying with the idea of potentially working with Drew Folk,
right,
for the first time. But we were scared to do a full album with him because we had only worked with Will Putney. So
right,
we were like, okay, let's just do a single, a standalone song, and let's write it from scratch with Drew Folk there to produce it. And we'll see what his vibe is, and we'll see if we like him
mm-hmm.
enough to go back when the album's ready. So we booked those dates. And then I had the idea, like, I was like, I hate the standalone single. Like, I would, as a fan, I would want more. I was like, so artistically, I started to kind of get the idea of like, let's do one long video for both songs and make it two.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wrote those songs in one session, recorded them, put them out. It was just kind of like a side quest while we were writing the album.
That was your guy's side quest? What the fuck?
And there was a lot that came with that, like going back to what I said about like writing breakdowns for different reasons now. Like, a breakdown for us is very much like a consistent climax in our songs, but now we're writing them trying to give different feelings and different vibes to a breakdown. And Everything is Quiet Now is a good example of that, because it's a sad breakdown.
It's a sad down, like, bro.
Yeah. And I love those. Like, Gojira does those a lot.
Yep.
That band, Viljoharda does those.
Dude,
and Meshuggah, like, it, so that was kind of like the first time we were like letting that influence in and writing a breakdown that was like it's a hype breakdown, but then we add that like sad lead into it and it just changes the atmosphere completely.
Yeah, dude, I remember seeing you guys live and you end with that. And it's so fucking hard. Just the line itself, everything is quiet now. And then you guys are done. It plays it. It fades out. You don't say anything after. You just go. I love that. It's just like, it's a finish.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a really fun one to close on. And then obviously the Knocked Loose Motherfucker was like a bigger than I thought it would be. Like, right. There's a lot of bands in the past that have done that I love. Like, there's a band called All Out War that does it with, they say their band name and the song name in a row. Like, the song is called Redemption for the Innocent. And like, when the breakdown hits, he just says All Out War, Redemption for the Innocent. And it's like, it's That's so hard. That came out in like the 90s, maybe. Yeah. Early 90s, I think. And just definitely a big influence on Knocked Loose. And then there's a lot of hardcore bands that have done it. So it's always been like a vibe that I thought was so cool. Saying your own band name, but the like more dark and artsy we got, the less I felt like it made sense. So when we were like, let's just do two songs, I was like, hey, this doesn't have to fit the vibe of an album.
Yeah,
this isn't some like concept EP, like I can throw it out here. And I brought it up like, hey, I've always wanted to do this, but it didn't make sense. And everybody was just like, yep, we're doing that.
I mean, you guys somehow managed, and I think it did make it bigger than this. You guys did the ARF ARF, and you then did the Knock Loose Motherfucker. And I think at this point, the Knock Loose Motherfucker is a bigger call out than the legendary ARF ARF, which that's hard to beat, considering you guys had to beat yourselves.
Yeah, definitely. I think that something that's crazy is like I didn't expect there's a lot of like big moments that we have that we never thought about it. Like the first one ever is the song All My Friends. The ending of that song has always been a giant crowd.
Yeah.
All My Friends Are Dead. And I remember the first time that happened, everybody in the band was like, damn, I didn't even think about that. Like that's perfect. Like, so these like big vocal moments have always kind of been on accident. And the bark was like literally just something that I thought sounded hard. And then something in the beginning, we played that song for a long time before we released Laugh Tracks. It was kind of just always like an interlude live.
Right.
And back in the day, I don't know what it was about that song, but that was the scariest moment of our set.
Right.
It became like this unspoken rule that like when you heard the chirping, everything was crazy.
The chirping on the guitar, I love
And I remember we toured with Orthodox in 2015, 2014, 2015 or 14. And they used to mosh like freaking assholes back in the day. And we would be playing and the whole tour would be on the side of the stage. And then the second we hit the chirps, you would see everybody on the side stage take their shirt off and fly off stage and just start smoking everybody. And that was just like, that was what Counting Worms was. So we were like, damn, let's put it on Laugh Tracks. And then it just switched to a meme and it's been the biggest song in our set since then. And it's like, people always ask me if I'm annoyed by it. And I'm like, dude, how could I be annoyed by the biggest moment in our set? So definitely not annoyed, but didn't think it would turn into like a fucking viral meme.
Right. I think that's what some bands, like they think, oh, because it has been memed, it is now a joke, instead of people are memeing it because it's awesome. Like it's special and fun, right? Like fun. And so many bands are scared to have those moments and they're like, this song doesn't exist anymore now. You know, they're like, oh, it's gone because we don't want people we want to pretend the internet doesn't know this exists. But those are the fun moments that I love you guys aren't scared to do, even though you're a serious, authentic band. You still have those fun moments. You just fucking go for them.
Yeah. I've never understood that. Like As long as it gets a reaction, it will be a part of our set. And that kind of goes for every song that we have. Like, our set lists are completely built around crowd participation and like what we know works live. And then when Deep in the Willow dropped, the Knock Loose Motherfucker just took off. And that was another one where I was just like, I mean, yeah, I guess on paper it makes sense, but I just didn't think about it
right.
being so big. And it's been sick. And something that I will say is, like, we just did a headliner in Europe a month or two ago.
Right.
And it was our first time headlining since those songs have been out. And they were, like, crazy. Like, people were, like, Everything Is Quiet Now was a giant crowd moment.
Right.
Knocked Loose Motherfucker was a giant crowd moment. It has me very, very excited to headline in America because we still, like, do much better here. So I'm excited to kind of give those songs a try here on a headliner now that they've been out for a year, so people can, like, fully react to them.
Right.
As well as the new songs.
Would you guys ever throw down in a Denny's or, like, an IHOP? Or is that, like, too dangerous for the employees at that point?
I mean, I would play anywhere, but I'm trying to think of, like, if we've played anywhere crazy like that. We played the first time we ever went to Texas, we played in a taco place.
Sick.
That was, like, maybe the size of this room that I'm in.
Okay. That's not big enough.
No.
That's not.
And I'm trying to think of, like, we've played a bunch of, like, really random. We played in a morgue once.
What the? Whoa, really?
Yeah, there was a morgue that had closed down. And then I guess whoever was owning it just started throwing hardcore shows out of it. And they did a lot of really, like, it was in Milwaukee. They did a lot of really legendary hardcore shows for Milwaukee inside of that place. And
there was no more dead people there, right? At that point, there were
no.
Okay.
But it was like, it held like maybe 200 people tops. And that's where they did the final Kingmaker show.
Okay.
And we got to open up for them on that show. And dude, it was like maybe 400 people in this like 200 cap morgue, just like fully trapped.
I mean, there's an escape. It's just through the chimney, probably there.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a little fucked up joke, but there you go. Jesus, man. That's, I mean, and I have to ask you, I guess, you know, the Coachella gig. I mean, I know you've talked about it, you know, here. And I watched your interview with Craig too, and it's sick that you guys just did your thing, went live. And there was no barricade, right? When you guys did Coachella.
No
that's
barricade.
So fucked, man. That's insane. I love that. How did you see after all the other people that were also like watching? Like, I don't know if, like, was Billie Eilish actually there watching you guys in the back?
I didn't know that until after. Okay. Like, the whole moment, like, was so crazy, and we were so, like, surprised by the reaction that I really think that all of us just kind of blacked out. Like, I really think that we it could have been bad and nobody would have been surprised, you know, like, right. If we played and nobody showed up to the tent, maybe 30, maybe a couple hundred people, whatever, we would have been like, yeah, like, it's Coachella, I understand. For us, it was a victory just being a part of the lineup and being able to be there and see everything else.
Right.
But then when we walked on stage and there was that many people there, we were just like, holy hell. Like, it just felt like it was like this weird moment that was like, this isn't supposed to happen, but it did.
Right.
And I fully blacked out. And then I get off stage and people are like, Billie Eilish was there and Ethel Kane was there and they said, I think Travis Barker watched, or there were like a bunch of people side stage. And right. I guess they were all like straight up famous people or something, but yeah, I didn't see any of them. I wish I did. I did get to meet Ethel Kane that weekend, which was huge for me, but didn't get to meet Billie Eilish.
That's, so next time you feature Billie Eilish. Did you surprise them like people were surprised with Poppy? Maybe she throws down. Yeah. Dude,
I bet she can. She posted like a couple months after Coachella, she posted "It Dies Today" on her Instagram story.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, it dies.
And I was like, maybe she knows how to scream.
Maybe she knows. Dude, yeah, a lot of the big celebrities, like, it's cool seeing them being like sharing. Like, there's Demi Lovato shares a lot of like the hardcore piss bands. Like, I think Drake shared Entheos at one fucking point, which that was
oh,
the most
yeah.
random one I think I've ever seen. I was like, that's cool. Like, did not expect that in my Instagram feed, but like,
yeah.
I guess we're in the bizarro world. But dude, yeah, I know you're busy, and I wanted to say, first of all, congratulations on all the crazy shit y'all have been through. Coachella, fucking new songs, and of course on the new record, which, chat, go pre-order it. You won't go before you're supposed to. Comes out, I think it's May 10th. I should know this as the host.
May 10th.
May
yeah,
10th.
May
there
10th.
We go. Yes, May 10th. Pre-order it. Show the homies the love. I never do album. I'm gonna definitely review that motherfucker. I am very stoked to hear what you guys do, man. So, dude, yeah, just thank you so much for coming on the show, shooting the shit, talking about some fun stories. And last question: what is the hardest track on the record?
Ooh, interesting.
Ignorant hard, like, just it's stupid. At that point,
I will say I think all of them have. I really do think every song on the record checks a different box.
Right.
I will say for me personally, there's a two song run on the record.
Mm-hmm.
Moss Covers All and To Take Me Home.
Okay.
Is like a very cool moment for us. Whereas, first of all, Moss Covers All is the shortest song that we've ever written. It's like 46 seconds long.
I love
and
that.
It's okay. And it's really stupid.
There we go.
That's a really good one. And then it kind of like rolls straight into Take Me Home. Those are like two of my favorites. The Poppy song ended up being one of my favorites on the record.
Dude, as people were like, she needs to be in the band. Because like, your guys' dynamic is insane. I don't think anyone expected that.
When the video at the end, when it very ends and it cuts to all of us standing together like a band promo, I was like, damn, we kind of just look like a dope band.
Yeah. Dude, it's because she sounds like your younger sister. It is fucking crazy how you guys compliment each other with your screams.
We are, the band will get mad at me if I give anything away, but we are both playing Sick New World this weekend.
Yo, chat, shut the fuck up. They won't snitch. They won't snitch, right, chat? What happened? Nothing happened right now, right? Oh, they always, so I have to ask every person this before. Do you throw block? I have to ask every single human.
Hold on, somebody's alarm is going off.
All good. All good.
Do I what?
Do you throw block? Since I had Clown from Slipknot on the show and he talked about Minecraft for an hour and a half, I now ask every guest if they throw block.
No, I have two younger brothers, so I play Fortnite.
That's fair. Everyone, Brian Garris of Knock Loose. Check out the brand new fucking record. I'm stoked to see it. You know, we're going to be checking it out on here and all that. And go see them on tour. Holy fuck, go see them on tour. Literally one of the best fucking shows I've seen in my life. Brian, thank you so much, bro, for coming to shoot the shit with us for an hour, man. I hope you have a lovely day, beautiful tour. And, dude, I'll see you guys hopefully in Tampa, and we'll catch up for a minute.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Have a good one, dude. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. Peace.